Yeah.
I like it.
Amen.
I enjoy it. Regardless of what you think of me, I'm batting 1,000 when it comes to marriage ceremonies. I haven't talked with Zach today, but I think I'm about 1,000. Okay. Where's your husband? Okay, well, anyway. I met my wife in church. To God be the glory. It's a great place to wait on God. The house of God. No greater place to wait on Him. A lot of folks get impatient. Her testimony's from two, and thank you both for your testimony. Didn't wait on God. I came from a preacher's home. Missionaries could go to Brazil. When I was 10 years old, our home was fractured, abusive, violent. Grew up in a broken home. Because somebody didn't wait on God. It's a whole lot better to wait on Him. And young folks, you just wait. If you die waiting, give God the glory if you're saved. I didn't get married until I was 41. I realize I don't look 41. I look 72. But I didn't get married until I was 41 years old because I waited. I didn't lower my standards to get married. My wife did, but I didn't.
I'll say amen for you.
Amen. Most churches need a Dave Crone.
That's right.
We got about 5 of them here.
He's available for a $10,000 donation.
Yeah, I understand that. Some of the advice, I happen to be privy to some insider information. And Timothy and I have known each other a long time. And even longer than I've known Megan. Those of you who do not know, I know Megan too. And we go way back. Friends with his family, friends with him. I want to say this before I preach tonight. I was the original Tim in this church. You can pick junior or moron.
I'll take moron.
Okay, moron. Okay. Pastor Black, from now on, anyway, I'd appreciate that. It kind of goes, Megan and the moron. You all saved?
Yes, sir.
All right, you shout.
Hey!
You got the girl, right?
Woo!
Let's testify.
A father is a pastor, was a preacher, but he wasn't a pastor, and I spent my whole life going from church to church, and the youngest of a family of 8, so you can watch your older siblings as you grow up. And you see them live a way that is not right, and you also desire to live that way, but you're always in church, and you hear these things, and your father takes you around because you're the youngest, and you're always with your father, and you hear him talk to these men of God and spend time with men of God, and so you kind of think that you're affiliated with church in some way because you hear your father say these things, and you think that you agree with him because somehow you're with him. But throughout that whole time, I was really of the world. And I was of my father, the devil. And I had no connection with God because I had never come to repentance. I never had. I said this after the service this morning. I really had Sarah's testimony. I doubted God. When God said that he could do something great with her, she doubted him and she did not believe it. And I needed faith through Jesus Christ. I needed that faith because I would strive for salvation, want salvation. But I really didn't want God. I really didn't want salvation. I never wanted to come to repentance. I wanted to build something up within myself. I thought, maybe if I could become something great enough, maybe if I could study my Bible enough or pray enough or live right enough, God would be able to save me. But really, it was something marvelous like what he did for Sarah. It was through faith.
That's right.
And God did something through faith. I remember sitting there in the service under conviction, finally at a place where I no longer thought I could get saved. There was no more hope for me. No more hope. I remember being so broken to the point I was just shaking and weeping because I had no more hope. And the service was over, and my brother Sam was talking about how God had saved him, and he said, Jesus Christ, his soul is in hell. And he says,
I believe, therefore have I spoken.
Awesome. And he said that, and I heard that, and for the first time, I believed that Jesus Christ could save me. I believed that, and that was through faith, because it was nothing I could have done. I didn't believe God, but Jesus Christ believed God. And because I repented, God was good to me, and he saved me.
Amen. You saved? Go ahead. You don't have to stand, though. Just talk loud.
So, I'm also a pastor's kid. Raised in church my entire life. And I always had... Well, I went through a bunch of different professions of faith and all that. But there were always things that I wanted more than I wanted God. And one of those was marriage, probably the main one. And I came to a point one day when I realized once again that I knew I wasn't saved. And it all came to me that the different times that I had struggled, I knew there were things I wanted more than God. And at those times, I would just basically give up because I had no desire to change that. I wanted what I wanted, and it wasn't God.
That's right.
And then that day, I came to the place where I just wanted God more than I wanted anything else.
Amen.
No matter what. Even if it meant I would never get married, if I would be a missionary by myself serving in some other country or whatever. And I just came to that place where I wanted that more than anything else. I just wanted God. And I was confused. I didn't know what was keeping me from getting saved necessarily. And I was doing my Bible reading. I was on the way home from market, not driving. And I was doing my Bible reading in the van. And I had come to the realization that I wanted God more than anything else. And I went into my Bible reading, and I had finished where I was reading the New Testament. And as I went to read in the Old Testament, I remember thinking to myself that, well, I guess I'm not going to get saved today now unless I do extra Bible reading, because now I'm only reading the Old Testament. I'm done with the New Testament for today. And it kind of hit me then. 2 Timothy 3:16, I think. Yeah, it came to mind. The first part of the verse says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it hit me that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I could get saved out of the Old Testament. And I had heard people say that they had gotten saved out of the first or second Chronicles or somewhere in the Old Testament, and I never believed them. And that verse hit me that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I believe that verse. Like, he could save me out of the Old Testament. And I continued into my reading, and it hit me again. I believe God will save me today, right now. And he gave me his faith.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a miracle. It's a work of God. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here this day.
Oh. 5 years early.
Does anyone have, does anyone have any reason? I don't want to get shot.
I think Dave Crowe gives pretty good reasons.
Any more guys in here have some relationships?
Dave, I'm going to say this publicly. My wife whispered in my ear, and I don't believe in little secrets, but she said, I thought Dave was going to talk about how he used to hold Megan in his arms. It was a while ago, Tim. Lord of God. By a little bit, he means high 58 degrees, Dave. Thank the Lord.
We don't need any more distractions tonight. We already got 10 and Megan distractions.
So. Yeah. People say, you don't make much ado about this. They've earned it.
That's what they have. You better believe it.
They've earned it.
They put a lot of, yeah, there's been a lot put into this.
A lot. A lot of angst, a lot of prayer.
I'll say this, Tim. I don't want to interrupt you, but I will say this. Both of these young folks have really tried to submit, to what I've seen, submit to their parents' direction and counsel. And I greatly appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
And I believe the Lord does bless and honor that. It's not just two young people trying to strike out on their own, but trying to seek the wisdom of elders and those around
them. A lot of folks mock this. A lot of folks make fun of this. And lady sitting there, who's now her husband, asked me if I kind of oversee their courtship, which didn't involve much. He'd ask me questions, and I tell him to be a man, and he was a man in a couple of things. Thank God for that. When I realized he was being a man, I said, well, you ought to just go ahead and marry her. They met in the house of God, prayed about it, went to their pastor, went to the parents, got some counsel. God's given them children, a good home. I've stayed in their home. Thank God for it. And he wants to do that for all of us. He wants to do that for every young person here. He wants to give you a good home. He wants to give you a happy home. He wants you to have a good relationship. He wants you to bear children. Yeah, I'll be honest, I didn't know what I was missing. I would have got married at 40 had I known. I know some of you know my children, but I love them anyway. They're little reflections, buddy. And little boys are their daddy. Their daddy's just a great guy. Galatians chapter 2. Timothy quoted the verse we're going to use a little bit later on. We have in the same spirit of faith, thank God. He didn't leave me on my own. He gave me the faith of Jesus Christ. Saving faith. What a wonderful thing. Galatians 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. We're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. And here's the vessel. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Galatians 3 and 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. The promise is by faith of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, But that which is through the faith of Christ, what is that? The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We used this earlier, but go to the book of Colossians in chapter 2. We used it earlier today. In verse 12, buried with him in baptism. Again, that's not water. That's spiritual. Wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Two more places, James chapter 2, if you would. And we'll look at verse 1. My brethren, and he challenges us, we are the brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. So he tells the church, he tells the brethren, you have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just read this, Revelation 14, 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That is the operation of God. Justified by faith of him. Timothy began to preach part of the end of this message. Let's go back to the Psalm. If you would, please. Now, I'm going to let some of you know, some of you don't know me. That's probably best for your sake. I do things a little different than some. I don't have formal training. I don't have an education. Let's go to Psalm 16. I don't have a great education. I don't know how to be polished. I don't have to say things with a big cheesy smile on my face. I've been practicing on some of you in the parking lot this week. But I do try to obey God. I try to obey the Spirit of God. I wouldn't have these young people testify if I didn't feel like the Lord wanted to testify. It wasn't a shame or embarrassment or to be funny or jocular. No. It's because what they said would help some of you that were listening. What they said could be a blessing to some of you. I remember last year, I believe it was on Sunday morning, we had a lady that stood and testified of not even being here on Friday night. A great service. But at her house, being saved by the good grace of God, listening to testimonies and messages. Folks testifying of the grace of God. So if you have a testimony, now listen, I'm not a big testimony person. I do like testimonies. The difference is what you've done versus what God has done. And I like a testimony about the goodness of God, the work of God in your life. And there's folks I've never heard testify because they don't have a testimony. Folks have never spoke of God's goodness in their life because they've never seen the goodness of God inward. It's always been an external event. I'm going to go briefly tonight, and I do mean that sincerely. I wanted to preach about an hour tonight, but Pastor Black took up 52 minutes, so. But he's the pastor, he can do what he wants. I'll just be bitter about it the rest of the week. Amen. Psalm 16 and 8. Now, you have to understand this. In this context, and I know this will be foreign to some of you, but we see David, that great psalmist of Israel, that great king of Israel, the great prophet of God. And I'll look at a place after we look at this, just for a little bit of groundwork. But he said in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. That's the body, his flesh. It's going to rest in hope. And he said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. But I want you to notice this. A couple of things he says. His flesh is resting his hope. But he said, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Let's go to Acts 2. And I just want to look at just a couple of verses to explain what he's telling us in Psalm 16. In verse 22 of Acts 2, he tells us, this is Peter's great message at Pentecost. And he says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him, Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Why? Because he's God. And then he tells you, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Here's the faith of Christ. For David speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is in my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And then Peter explains to us, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. David, the great prophet of God, saw the resurrection of Christ. He prophesied in Psalm 16. His flesh would rest in hope. Thou would not leave my soul in hell, neither would thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's the body of Jesus Christ. This Jesus, verse 32, hath God raised up. So if we go back to Psalm 16, Peter's explained to us what David is saying here, because David is prophesying. He has seen the resurrection of Christ, but yet we see someone speaking that he tells you this cannot be David. Number one, David's soul never went to hell. Secondly, he's speaking by the Spirit of Christ, 1 Peter 1:11. The things which Christ should suffer, and the glory that should follow. He foreseeing this. He saw this. He could see Jesus Christ resurrected. And he spake by the Spirit of Christ. And he said, for thou wilt not leave, first person, my soul in hell. He's speaking as Jesus Christ. He's speaking in the first person. The Spirit of Christ is prophesying through David. And what do we see? Faith. Thou wilt not. Faith. Not only to leave my soul in hell, but he said in the second part of the verse, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. What do we see? Faith. Where do we see that? Well, let's go to my little stump speech. Psalm 27. Don't just rattle you. If you don't see it, just smile anyway. The Lord is my light. This is a psalm of David, that great prophet of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. Where's his flesh? It's resting in hope. Whose flesh? Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus Christ? He's God. That's the body of God. The Holy One of God. He said, when they came up to all me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why? He would not see corruption. Paul told us this morning in Acts 13 that he did not see corruption. The only body that's ever gone to the grave that was not corrupted. Pharaoh tried it. The Egyptians tried it. They mummified people. But those bodies still saw corruption. That flesh still saw corruption. But the body of Jesus Christ saw no corruption. Why? Because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One. The worms came. I've said it in this pulpit. I'll say it again. The worms came. They saw that was the body of God. They smelled the myrrh. They bowed the knee and said, this is the Holy One of God. This is our Creator. The bacteria came up to eat up his flesh. The enemies of this body came to eat up this flesh. They bowed the knee and said, that's the Holy One of God. That's our Creator. He saw no corruption. Nothing could touch his body. And I know folks don't understand that. They choke on that. That's all right. Choke on it till you believe it. Verse 13, still speaking of Jesus Christ. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, this is going to bring us to an interesting point. I had fainted till I had seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Who speaks of the land of the living? But someone that's dead. Someone that's looking to be alive. Someone that's looking. Job said, those skin worms destroy my body in Job 19. Yet in my flesh I shall see God. The hope of the resurrection. The looking for the resurrection. Jesus Christ in his death is looking for the resurrection. Why? He believes the word of God. He's dead. His body's in the grave. His soul's been made an offering for sin. He is no longer in the land of the living. But he longs to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The book of Isaiah 53. We'll come back to Psalms in just a moment. Isaiah 53. Again, this great prophecy of Jesus Christ. He was oppressed, verse 7, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? And notice this, for he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. So Isaiah tells us he was cut off. How was he cut off? He was crucified. He died. His body went to the grave. His soul was offered for sin. He's dead. But he's awaiting the resurrection by faith. He's awaiting that day when his soul will not be left in hell. He's awaiting the day when the Holy One will not see corruption. He's longing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He believes the word of God. Let's go to Psalm 27, where I just was. Let's go to Psalm 56. That'd make more sense. In Psalm 56, again, just bear with me on this. This is to your chief musician, upon Jonath, Elamech, and Rechahokhaim, Miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. You don't think I could say that word, did you? Be merciful. I don't think I did. Be merciful unto me, O God, for a man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That's man. He's not afraid of what men can do. He's put his trust in God. He has believed God. Again, there's a couple evidences here we'll look at in just a moment. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Where do they wait for his soul? They wait in the garden for it. And Judas comes and kisses him. Shall they escape by iniquity and thine anger cast down thy people, O God? Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? I've used this many times. I've used it here. There's two colons. Put a sentence within a sentence. If you read around the colons, it says this, thou tellest my wanderings, are they not in thy book? Whose wanderings is he speaking of? That one that didn't have a place to lay his head. That one that had no place to call his own. In the midst of that sentence, he says, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, and the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. Say, I'm not still convinced. Look at verse 13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. This is someone that's dead. This can't be David. This is someone that's not in the land of the living. This is someone looking for the light of the living. Why? They're in darkness. This is the soul of Jesus Christ speaking. You say, how do you know that? Well, bear with me on this. Let's look at a couple other places. In verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Let's go back to Psalm 18. What are those enemies? Look at verse 3 of Psalm 18. I will call upon the Lord. Who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. What did God promise him when he cried? His enemies would turn back. I shall be saved from mine enemies. Here's his enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. He could not come out of the grave. There was no relief. He could not come out while the snares of death had prevented him until in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. There's the cry we just read in Psalm 56. A cry went unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. My cry came before him even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The faith of Jesus Christ. He believed that God would deliver him. He believed that God would not only deliver him, that God would resurrect him. And he would walk in the light of the living. In verse 16, we see that faith come to fruition. We see the resurrection. He sent from above. He took me, drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now here's the absolute nail in the true proof of the doctrine. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. When did God ever reward David according to his righteousness? When did God ever reward you according to your righteousness? All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But there was one that God delivered. There's one that God heard. There's one that was righteous before God. He was the Son of God. He is the righteousness of God. He delighted in him. According to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. Faith. He believes God. Verse 9 of Psalm 56, I'll read it again. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. I want you to notice those two little words. I know. That is faith. Amen. Hallelujah. How do you know you're saved? Because of faith.
Amen.
Our faith. No, his faith. Not works of righteousness which we have done, because the faith of Jesus Christ. That faith of the operation of God. This I know. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. That he will walk before the Lord in the light of the living. Let's go to Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And I want you to notice he's writing again in the first person. It doesn't tell you it's David, but he's writing in the first person. He's writing I. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. When did he incline his ear unto him? When his cry came before him, even into his ear. Came before him into his holy temple. Why did God incline his ear unto him here? Because it's the Son of God. It's Jesus Christ. The Father inclined his ear to hear. He listened for the cry of his Son. Listen for that cry to come into his ear. Unto me, therefore, will I call upon him as long as I live. And notice the parallel, Psalm 18. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Why does it say deliver my soul? Because his soul has been offered for sin. His soul is under the wrath of God. His soul has been cut off from the land of the living. His soul, spiritually, is dead. But he cried, and the Lord heard him. He inclined his ear unto him, and the Lord brought him out. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. There's faith. He's speaking to the first person. He's speaking by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, that thou hast delivered me from death. Mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And then notice verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's faith. That's his faith. In his darkest day, his darkest hour on the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Yet being judged for sin, being condemned to die, taking our sin in his body, he never doubted God. He believed the word of God. And he said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And then notice the next verse. I believed, therefore have I spoken. 2 Corinthians 4. How are we justified by the faith of Christ? The Apostle Paul tells you. 2 Corinthians 4. In verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith. What faith? Faith of Christ. As it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. How much confidence is that? I know. So you're awful cocky about you won't see death in hell. No. I have the same spirit of faith. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I have the faith of Christ. Travis Clayton used to say you could walk out of the tightrope over hell, juggling, I think you say flaming torches, chewing bubble gum. He said, I could trip and fall, and I still wouldn't go to hell. Because I had the same spirit of faith. Glory be to God. Amen. What faith is? That's faith in Jesus Christ. I believe, therefore have I spoken. He spoke by faith, by the word of faith, which we preach. That's what he spake. He said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. It's not with our lips. It's in our heart.
That's right.
The Lord heard him because he believed. The Lord delivered him by his own righteousness because he believed. Recompensed him according to the cleanness of his hands because he believed. Did not leave his soul in hell because he believed. Did not let his Holy One see corruption because he believed the word of God. And the grave could not hold him because he believed the word of God. Many sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, Daniel 12:2. Some to everlasting life. Hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. I tell you these things that you may know that you have eternal life. Hallelujah. You might know. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There is a hope, the resurrection. There is a hope because of Jesus Christ. And we having the same spirit of faith. How do we get that? By grace are you saved through faith. You still think that's your faith? Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. A free gift of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Psalm 34. In verse 17, speaking to the third person, Psalm of David. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Do you notice the switch? He said to righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. When you go to verse 19, he speaks of the afflictions, that man of sorrows, that man who was afflicted, that man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, did esteem him smitten of God, afflicted. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The sorrows of death compassed him about, but God delivered him. The sorrows of hell compassed him about, God delivered him. His feet were falling, and God delivered him. His enemies came upon him, and God delivered him. He delivered him out of them all. The snares of death prevented him. He could not cross that great gulf. The Lord heard that cry and delivered him, Jesus Christ, out of them all. Now let's read verse 6 in that light. This poor man cried, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. That's his son. You can use that for your life verse. You won't bother me. I'll shout with you. Thank God. But that's the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The Lord heard him and delivered him. Brought him out of hell. Delivered him into that large place, that place of water, that place of pasture, paradise. Delivered him. Brought him out from his enemies. Put him in the land of the living. The light of the living. Delivered him by his own righteousness. And then recompensed him by the cleanness of his hands. And then on that glorious morning, about the dawning of the day, they went to the tomb and they found the tomb was empty. Because that Holy One of God had resurrected.
Amen.
The Lord delivered him out of all his troubles.
Hallelujah.
Now you know how I can apply that to me? Have the same spirit of faith.
Amen.
This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My darkest despair and my darkest hour. The bonds of sin had me bound. The Lord heard me, and he saved me out of all my troubles.
Amen.
Because of his son.
My God.
Because of his faith.
That's right.
And I can stand today, and with the saints of God, I can say, I believe, therefore have I spoken.
Amen.
And we believe, and also speak. Let's go to Isaiah 38. In verse 16. O Lord, by these things men live, and all these things is the life of my spirit. This is Hezekiah's prayer, by the way. I'd never seen it in this light till recently. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back.
Hey.
He delivered me out of the pit of corruption. I was on my way to hell and God stepped in. He intervened because of his dear son. I was Sarah. He said it well. I was Sarah and I laughed. Said, God can't do anything with me. I've gone too far. I'm too steeped in sin.
That's right.
What I didn't realize is it wasn't my faith, it was his faith.
That's
that sin he'd borne his body on the cross. He died for my soul. Let me read that verse again. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast enlarged my soul, delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Blessed be his holy name. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. But notice verse 19. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Who praises him? The living. Who's living? They that were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. They that have the same spirit of faith. They that believe and have spoken. They that have taken God at his word and have received the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Pastor Black.
I'm just going to stay back in my seat as we wrap things up this evening. Cliff and Aletha Leitner have joined us here tonight. And I don't want to push them out of the way, but I'm just going to say a few closing words here as we wrap things up. You know, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Something we fail to recognize is that salvation is only found by those who labor and are heavy laden. You say, what are you saying? It's when the entrance of the Word of God, the law of God, is so troubled a man concerning his sin. What's that? That's that Spirit of truth, that comforter, that's reproving the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When the work of God through his word has brought an individual face to face with the realities of their sin, and they become troubled, they become heavy laden, they begin to labor to try to figure out what relief can I find. At that point is when God steps in. Amen. That's the point when God will step in. Okay? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay? When God steps in, we have a song in our hymn book, which man, because man does not believe the word of God, has taken one of the most important verses out of that song. We're going to sing it if the Lord permits this week at some point, but we're not going to sing it out of our hymn book. That's that great song that Charles Wesley wrote,
yes,
which is a testimony of Charles Wesley. And one of the most, actually a couple of the most critical verses in that song are missing in our hymn book. I like our hymn book. There's a lot of good songs in our hymn book. I enjoy our hymn book. But I think it's a testimony to the reality that churches today do not have the faith of Jesus Christ. When they can take the most critical verse out of a most important song in that hymn book, you know what that verse is? It's that day God stepped in. What Charles Wesley said, he said this. He said, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. He said, the dungeon awoke and flamed with light. He said, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amen. Followed thee. What is that, my friend? That's when the faith of Jesus Christ steps into a repentant sinner's life. That's when God performs his miracle that's called the new birth. And churches today do not believe that God still does that miracle. We have a form of godliness. Most churches have a form of godliness, and it's powerless. I want to tell you, my friend, and I want to testify, my friend, that when God steps in, there's power from that day forward.
Hey.
And I want to tell you something. A God that cannot do a work like that is not a God worth serving. It's not a God I'd want to have. And I want to tell you, my friend, I praise God that there's a God that still changes lives. I praise God that there's still a faith. I want to praise God there's still a perfect Bible. And I want to praise God God still does a perfect work through that perfect Bible. You know what I thought that was showing?
No, go ahead. Great.
Amen.
Great. Hallelujah. I believe.
You know, in this valley, and I'm not ashamed of this, and I'm neither am I proud of this, but gained a reputation of that crazy guy that believes in a miracle of the new birth. Who believes in a new birth is a better one. You know what? I don't like having a bad reputation. I don't think that's a bad reputation. Do you know that ought to be the reputation of everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ? Because, my friend, the salvation it isn't a miracle of God. Salvation is not a gift of God. The salvation is not through that word. It's not salvation.
Amen.
And I praise God. You know, I apologize for, I don't really apologize for the length of the service, but I apologize that Tim and Megan made this a long service. It was their fault.
Yep.
It certainly was their fault. Yeah, bless you.
Yep.
Now, I just, you know, the truth of the matter is I wrestled with, I didn't want this to become a distraction of the service. And just, we were praying and trying to discern the will of the Lord when to bring this to a certain point here. I thought it wouldn't be a distraction of the service. I thought it would be a blessing to many in reality. I think many would rejoice with them. I know it took a little extra time tonight as far as our harassment and aggravation and different aspects of that here tonight, but I think everybody understands. And it's good to be in the house of God. I praise the Lord for His Word. Okay, and we're going to wrap things up here tonight. Look forward to tomorrow night. As the week progresses, may God bless the ministry of His Word. And I praise the Lord for His work. And we'll look forward to that time which we spend together. And you know what? You know what I'm going to do here tonight? Let me see. Tim? Young Tim. Timmy. Moron.
Moron.
Would you close this in word of prayer tonight?
Yes, sir. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the faith of Jesus Christ. God, I thank You for what You've done. I thank You for what You can do. God, I thank You for the new birth. God, I thank You for a pastor that believes in the new birth. God, I ask that You bless this meeting, bless the rest of this night. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.